Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, God, your spirit, for leading us, bringing us to this place. God, we thank you that you feed us. God, you give us strength and you give us power for this life. And you give us joy and you give us peace, God, through your spirit. We pray that your word would penetrate, God, into the heart. And you would write and rewrite, God, our mindsets. So we pray for your glory to shine and unveil, God, the true glory, God, that is who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I think many of us, you know, arrive in this place and, you know, with lingering sets of emotions. I think we live with chronic bad emotions. Many of us. And many of us have good emotions and we're happy that we have them. But many of us are slaves to our circumstances in having good emotions. Emotions are categorized by God as being right and wrong. It almost seems like a moral issue. And God commands emotions. And it's not a mystery why we don't talk about them. But we have them. We can try to suppress them. But suppressing emotions is the only way we can suppress emotions is if we take on a mindset. And a mindset that produces an emotion. Coldness and hardness is an emotion. It's not joy. Now, God commands good emotions. And if you think, well, aren't emotions something that we can't help? But you don't understand my circumstances at home. I'm in a marriage that's not working out, or I have children and you don't understand my situation. Things are going at work that you have no idea about. And because of my circumstances, my emotions are what they are. I'm a victim of my circumstances. I'm a victim of my relationships at home. I'm a victim of my relationship with my friends and spouse and children and parents. I'm a victim. So many of us are going to go to work and have emotions. You're going to have emotions. You're going to have anxiety, perhaps, and fear before you even go to work. Maybe the night before. Maybe you have a boss that's less than pleasant. I have great news for all of you. Because no matter your situation and circumstance, because God commands it, He has made a way for you to not live with bad emotions, wrong emotions. And I don't want us to say, oh, these are negative emotions, as if God uses the word right and wrong when it comes to emotions. See, emotions are indicators of our mindsets. It's the mindset about our circumstances we might not like. See, you know, what we might have to do. And see, here's the thing. That's why obedience is so important in having good emotions. God commands us to obey. And if we obey and trust, then we will have right emotions, not the wrong ones. I want us to be so excited about what we're talking about. Are you trying to tell me that in my relationships at home, at work, you're saying, let me get this right, that I'm not a victim of my circumstances? Yes. So when God says, peace I give you, not as the world gives, He's saying that the world can only give you peace if you have good circumstances. That's why you got to go home and do aromatherapies and stuff. Put yourself in a good situation. There is absolutely no chance of a good emotion, let alone peace or joy in a bad circumstance, in a bad marriage, when your children are out of whack and your friends are stabbing you in the back. I'm going to tell you. That's why when Christ calls us, okay, but one of the things, God is always glad. He is always at peace. It doesn't mean that God doesn't get angry. It doesn't mean that God doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean any of those things, because when it hurts, it hurts. When we're in a bad situation, it's painful. But see, emotions are things that are both acute, but they're also things that are chronic. And so let's dive in a little bit. All right. We talked last week. We have base affections. See, base affection is, it's the factory of hunger and thirst and desire. And so we have things that we want. And they're things of the dark. We want absolute security. We want a life where we don't have to be uncertain. I like that. I like a life where I don't have to be courageous, where I can be completely free of any kind of risk of COVID or any kind of like financial burden later on in life. I want security. And God doesn't call us to that in the Christian life. Christian life is always going to be about risk, because Christian life is about having courage. So if you want like security and safety at all times, it's not the Christian life. We have to take good risk, and sometimes life-threatening risk, depending on the call of God. But we have these emotions, don't we? Base affections, that I call. Base affections. I want to reserve the term emotion, okay? Because it adds words. It's called a ruling mindset. See, when you have emotions, it exposes the mindset that you have about that circumstance. That's why God... We'll talk a little bit more about that next week when we're going to talk about the emotion of anger, the emotion of bitterness and grudges, and that chronic sense of disconnection because somebody hurt you. It's unfathomable that you could ever draw near to somebody that's hurt you badly or continues to hurt you. But this mindset that we have is exposed by the emotion. So when God, like Joe, for instance, you know, he's like having a pity party. Understandably, my goodness, his whole family was wiped out. He's got boils. He has lost all of his wealth. And if anybody has a right to complain, it was Joe. But you know what God does? God comes in, okay, with his glory, summons Job, not only show how wonderful his plans are for Job, but he begins this long dialogue of essentially saying, where were you when I built all this? Who do you think you are? How dare you? See? How dare you? See, what self-pity is this idea that I deserve so much. I'm asked actually very frequently, hey, Henry, I mean, you're in healthcare. Do you think that healthcare is a basic human right? Okay. Be careful how I answer this question. Okay. I think in this country, all right, I believe we're well off enough that we could offer public health, okay, as a basic privilege to everybody. I say that because primary care is inexorbitant. Now, if you're saying, should we offer, no matter what the expense of an injury or a disease, we can't afford it. You know, there's one reason why in America we don't have more doctors and why we're not opening up more med schools. Because we need them. Because residencies are funded by Medicare. And you only have so many residency slots. And if doctors graduate from college and they can't, or medical school and they can't go to residency. And so we're limited by money. And so those rural areas and smaller towns, they don't have enough doctors. They don't have enough of this and they don't have enough of that. And medical schools would love to open up, you know, I mean, states would love to open up more medical schools. But the question is, isn't that? They're saying, is it your right? Now, Bible has something to say about that. Bible says you have absolutely no right. See, when God says husbands love your wife, isn't because your wife is deserving of that love. That's so shocking. See, there's no need then to be grateful if you're deserving of so much. You know why we take each other for granted? Because you think it is your right to receive that love. Do you know why you don't say, thank you, honey? Thank you. This is an amazing meal. Because you think you deserve it. Because guess what? If it's not done right, you might get a little, what? You might get a little beside yourself. You know? Hey, did you take out the garbage? Okay, the way you said it makes it sound like you deserve for me to be taking out that garbage. Now, is it absolutely a requirement for husbands to love their wives? Absolutely. And here's the dilemma, isn't it? Husbands better love their wives as Christ loved the church. Parents better not exasperate, okay, or anger their children unnecessarily or hurt them unnecessarily. Children better obey their parents. Doesn't mean you deserve them. You see, that's the thing. That's why we have the cross. The cross tells us we don't deserve jack. You see, God is in the business of breaking you down. He does it. He did it for Jonah. Right? Jonah, what? You believe it is your basic human right to run away? You think, right? You name it. Moses, you know why Moses didn't get to go to the promised land? A man who's probably worked harder than any of them. Because God wasn't done disciplining Moses. Because Moses thought he was all that. He thought that he was in the, what? Right. He deserved their, what? Obedience. His people. He lost it. He got angry in a way. He struck the rock with his rod like what Robert was saying. Okay, God said, give your people water, right? And then command this rock to produce it. And Moses, like, instead of saying, hey, people, here's your water. Rock, produce the water. There's your water. Okay, Moses, you're going to be right up here. And as the people march into the promised land, right? You're going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Right? Everybody's going to be like, I wonder what he did. You know what I'm saying? People know what he did. Now, he was next to Christ during the transfiguration. Which means, see, just because God disciplines you doesn't mean he hates you. Right? Look, the promised land is nothing compared to the kingdom. But here's the point. Emotions, expose that mindset. Like I deserve some things. I deserve my husband to do this for me. I deserve this. Can you imagine if two people who got married, right, actually believed they didn't deserve anything? Honey, no. Let me do the dishes. Wow. That was harsh. Can you imagine? You would have thank yous and gratitudes constantly flowing. And you know what? You would be, no matter what, you didn't feel like you deserved it, you'd probably be content with most things. You know what lowly in spirit means? That means devoid of any kind of demanding deservedness. Like somebody owes you something. We walk around like somebody owes you. I got my rights. Who gave you your rights? Seriously. Who gave you your rights? Who told you you deserved a better wife? You better be glad you got what you got. You know what I'm saying? You see the difference? But ultimately, none of those circumstantial things matter because God works the good of those who love Him, and we're going to see this. But the mindset, I hope we're seeing this. There is a ruling mindset. And this mindset is a belief. It's a, what's another way for belief? Faith. What's faith? It's like a prediction. It's like a guess, right? About what that experience is all about. And God is saying, predict it this way. That's called faith. If you predict it this way, it's called unbelief. If God is working towards the good of those who love Him, there's not a situation that you will ever experience in this life. No matter who you married, no matter the kids you have, no matter the parents you have, there's not a single situation that is not being worked towards the good of those who love God. Now, does that say, God, thank you? Thank you. See, that's gratitude. And so you know what? That better bring you to your knees in utter brokenness. Because that's what God says. See, if you want to come to God, He's going to try to break you down. But see, because all in life, God is saying, look, in this life, you're going to become a kind of a person that is going to become this other kind of a person. And this other kind of person is the kind of person who has good emotions amid, right, unpleasant circumstances. It's the goal of God while we're alive. That's what it means to be a leader. All right, you're going to watch this video, and I hope it convinces you, okay, that what I'm saying about emotions is not just based in biblical law, but it's also based in science. Let's take a, you know, some of you might have seen this. I might have showed this a few years ago.
I have studied emotions as a scientist for the past 25 years, and in my lab, we have probed human faces by measuring electrical signals that cause your facial muscles to contract to make facial expressions. We have scrutinized the human body in emotion. We have analyzed hundreds of physiology studies involving thousands of test subjects. We've scanned hundreds of brains and examined every brain imaging study on emotion that has been published in the past 20 years. And the results of these, of all of this research, is overwhelmingly consistent. It may feel to you like your emotions are hardwired and they just trigger and happen to you, but they don't. You might believe that your brain is pre-wired with emotion circuits, you know, that you're born with emotion circuits, but you're not. In fact, none of us in this room have emotion circuits in our brain. In fact, no brain on this planet contains emotion circuits. So what are emotions really? Well, strap on your seatbelt because emotions are guesses. They are guesses that your brain constructs in the moment where billions of brain cells are working together. And you have more control over those guesses than you might imagine that you do. Now, if that sounds preposterous to you or, you know, kind of crazy, I'm right there with you because, frankly, if I hadn't seen the evidence for myself, decades of evidence for myself, I am fairly sure that I wouldn't believe it either. But the bottom line is that emotions are not built into your brain at birth. They are just built.
I shared this quote last week. Emotions are not built in. They are built. So why do we want to talk about feelings? Because it helps us to deconstruct what we are guessing, what we are predicting, what we are in faith for, what our mindset is about that. Because a mindset is the way we guess all the time, okay, under certain circumstances. It's just the way it is. And so it's helpful when you feel bitter, when you feel disappointed, when you feel utterly disappointed, you feel utterly betrayed and hurt. See, there is a prescription that God has for the way we are to think about those types of situations. And as we dive into them, about mindsets that we have, and we're exposed. Like if you're hurt, turn the other cheek. That's a mindset, which means you better forgive. And forgiveness, you better not remember it. Forgiveness comes with not remembering. That means you can't constantly be recalling it. See, we have a problem with constantly remembering. That's not forgiveness. That means you're a very unforgiving person. Because when God forgives, He will remember your sins no more. See, that means you can't be thinking about them. But you don't understand. God understands that you've been hurt. But the pathway to peace and joy is for you to do that. Now that's a prescription. That's called obedience. And there's a mindset. When you experience hurt, there's a mindset that gets exposed that is indicated by your emotion. And here's the thing. You created that. You're the architect of your own emotions. You have been the architect. And you think because other people do it, that it's okay to do it. And it's not. And God is saying that's so hurtful to yourself. Yes, go and do things. And here's the thing. When you do things, when you don't want to do them, but you believe that it's good for you to do them, that's the very definition of what it means to be an athlete. I don't want to go to practice after school because all my buddies are going to McDonald's. But if you're an athlete, got to go to practice. Because what? You want to. Is there a bit of little Henry that wanted to go to McDonald's? Absolutely. But in the Christian life, it's always the battle between big Henry and little Henry. Isn't it? We'll talk a little bit more about that. Okay. Base affections. That means it's hardwired. It's built in. Oh, I experience pleasure. I experience pain. I want. I don't want. These are basic things. Where it goes from there, base affections plus base mindsets or ruling mindsets equals emotion. And a mindset that gets expressed, okay, in a circumstance when you want something or you don't want something or you have pleasure in this and you have pain in that, you're going to start now getting the emotions. Envy usually happens when you want something. Okay? But there's a mindset about when you want something that gets exposed. And envy is like, when you feel envy, you'll be like, there's a mindset there. Better get that under control. No, I better get that rooted out. Because you know what? When you see people having good things or good things that are happening to them, you know how good it is for you to actually be happy for them? You know what I'm saying? But also to realize nothing anybody could have ever is going to take away from what I have. And here's the thing. You have God. You have Christ. Scripture says if you have Christ, you have everything. There's nothing that God held back if you have Christ. It's like $1 trillion plus a few pennies. See, but that's a mindset. Whenever that emotion comes out, you're like, ooh, then you better be rehearsing the right mindset. Not just go with it. Ooh, I feel angry. I feel envious. I'm going to go with it and run with it. No, you say, how should I think about this? How should I think about what my emotion has just exposed? About the kind of mindset I have right now. Romans 8:6 talks about it. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and what? Peace. Because of the mindset of the flesh is enmity towards God. Opposition. For it is not subject to the law of God. Now you get to see why God commands obedience. Because God commands peace. Because God commands mindsets. But it's something that he gives. Let's take a look. For it is not able to do so. And those who are in the flesh are not able to please God because they cannot. I work in a hospital. We have the largest adolescent psychiatric inpatient unit in the DOD. And there are seasons the beds are so full, we can't even send them to a civilian hospital. They're in the ER for days. And there are adolescents in ERs for days at other hospitals. It's an epidemic. Okay, around 2012, it just became, with the social media thing, it just exploded. Exploded. But here's the thing. People don't heal well. You know why they don't heal well? Because mindsets are no joke. See, if you're not a believer, your mindset's your mindset. See that the mindset of the flesh is all you got. That's all you got to work with. There's no war over mindsets. It's just the mindset you got. You can't help but to be envious. We can go through cognitive behavior therapy, okay? We can try to get you, you know, into talk therapy, prescribe meds, get you to kind of help yourself. But I talk like this because I was one messed up dude. I was on meds. You know, I was suicidal. I know what it's like to be clinically depressed. I know what it's like to think, man, I'd just rather die than to live like this. But see, when you get the new self, you get a new mindset. Those who are in the flesh are not able to please God. But you, he's talking to the Roman Christians now, isn't he? Are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He's talking to now big Henry. Little Henry is not you anymore. I don't even want to call it Hank. I don't want to call it, let's say little Hank. All right? If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this person does not belong to him. That means if you don't have another mindset that's declared war on little Hank, then you're not in Christ because you don't have that other mindset. And you're just, all we can do is try to get into some kind of like, hey, go in the mirror and go, I like me, you know, and I'm enough. You know, I just got to be the best version of myself. These are the kinds of things that people have to do just to get by. But not you. Those who are in Christ. Now, saying this is why this is good news. See, he came to set everybody free. So that we're not under the domination. So if you have PTSD, it's okay. in the new mindset, you can experience PTSD differently, trauma differently. You could experience betrayal differently. You could experience toxic relationships differently. You could experience life differently because here's the thing. In Christ, you're an architect of your emotions. Not just you, but through Christ and the Spirit. And that's exactly what it says. But if Christ in you, the body is dead because of sin. What it means dead, that body, little Hank, is not who you are anymore. See, the thing about little Hank, it likes to think that little Hank is me. See, little Hank has desires and it has a mindset. It tries to convince me, no, that's what you want. You want to be a cold fish. You don't want to get hurt. You know, stay away from this. You need to invest more in your 401k. Forget about church. Little Hank wants what it wants. But in Christ, when you were baptized, little Hank is no longer who you are. That's not you. That is not your identity. I don't identify with what little Hank wants because little Hank is dead to me. It's dead to me. Yes, there is a war for my heart, but there's only one me. That's the new me. I've been recreated. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. See, little Hank had to die. That identity is dead. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The only life you got inside your body, okay, is Big Henry. See, little Hank is like a parasite now. It's like just a parasite. You know, I long to have a glorified body. But not before I learn what I need to learn. God knows best why I don't have it now. Romans 8:26, and likewise also the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as one ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unexpressed groanings, and the one who searches our hearts knows what the mindset of the Spirit is. Here's the thing. You ever feel when you wake up in the morning, just feel like your mind is just going crazy? You know what the Spirit helps us to do? When you go to God, get on your knees, it helps us just to, this is who I am. This is my mindset. I don't want that. I want this. Spirit then helps us to say, God, thy will be done. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm one with God. See, God knows me. He's helping me try to help me to know me. Help me to know what I want. Not try to chase after, right? To be one of the Joneses and the Kims, right? No. That's where the Spirit intercedes. It's searching my heart, Henry. And I know you're disappointed you didn't get into that, you know, school. I know you're disappointed you didn't get that job. I know you're disappointed. I know you're disappointed because that's what you thought you wanted. I got bigger plans for you. See? Because, Henry, I want you to know I work all things towards the good of those who love me. I want you to know that. Here's the thing. You're never defeated. I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be by your side. God wants to speak over you. He wants you to know you're not alone. And it's okay to trust him. It's okay to say, I'm going to forgive this jerk. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to take a step towards people. Because he intercedes on behalf of the saints. What does it say? According to the will of God. That's why we cry out, thy will be done. Spirit is helping us to say, Henry, predict happiness. Therefore, predict obedience. Predict turning the other cheek. Predict reminding yourself that you have no rights, that you're not entitled. Predict better. Make your guesses towards the Word of God. See, the one thing the enemy likes to do, he wants you to distrust the Word of God. He wants you to put doubt in your mind so that you can go, right? You ever notice people who don't believe in the Word of God? They have bad emotions. They don't know how to forgive. They don't know how to be sacrificial. And yet, they'll criticize and criticize and criticize. When they criticize the Word of God, they're criticizing God. You ever play telephone charades? You know, you whisper one thing, 10 person later, it's like a complete mess. Jonah was able to go from one end of the city to the other end of the city, and every word intact, to the point where the king of Nineveh, on his knees, in repentance, nothing corrupt. Why? Because God's word is like that. It will not be corrupt. Your words will. Your words will. And we know that all things work towards the good for those who love God. Spirit of God is trying to help you to know who you are so that you will know what you want, so that you will know the mindset that you must have. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. See, that's the thing. It's trying to always remind you, this is who you are. This is David. This is Joe. This is Amy. This is Nate. This is who you are. It is your birthright to be here, to go through this. Why were we crucified? The old self, why was it crucified? Don't you still sin? It's saying that that identity is no longer who you are. That's what that means. Okay, so that we would no longer be enslaved to that mindset. Hear me this. The mindset that produces, aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired having the same wrong emotions in every circumstance? You don't have to suppress your emotions. You just have to agree with God that his prescription is better than your numbing it. You don't have to try to walk away from it. You don't have to try to avoid it. You don't have to try to soothe it. You just have to obey what God says, including forgiveness, including apologies, including reminding yourself how great you have it because you have Christ. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And what is sin? It is a mindset. It is lawlessness. Sin is defined as a mindset. For one who has died has been set free from that mindset. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And here's that verse I'm talking about. For those who are in Christ now, if you're a Christian, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passion. Here's the thing. See, desires feed off on words. You know what I'm saying? You need words. That's why your mind goes. If you're being sexually tempted, you need images. Right? You need fantasies. Try to have a sexual temptation without any words. It's not that good. It says, let not sin therefore. reign. Don't let that mindset. Greed, try to be greedy without words. Can't. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. At some point in your life, you got to say, you know what? Those worldly desires, those tempting ways that I've always, you know what I'm saying, responded to my experiences. What does it say? It's that was in the past. At some point in your life, you got to go, yeah, that was who I was. It's not who I am now. See, here's the thing about Christians. See, a Christian is someone who leans forward, okay, in obedience to God. You ever see Christians who kind of lean backwards in loving God, loving people? They're, whoa. See, when you lean back, you're going to live a life of being a victim to your own emotions over your circumstances. Because if you engage, which is obedience, we'll see. The next section, the obedient mindset that produces good emotions. The Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's the imperative. That's the main verb. Making disciples. And then says, yeah, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then what does that mean? That means out with the old, in with the new. That's what baptism is. It's a ceremony depicting that it is no longer who you are. This is who you are. And then teaching them to observe, to obey all that I have commanded you. God commands us so that we would live a life of joy. A lot of people major in the minors, talking about ministries and talking about things like, you know, like all the while they just have wrong emotions all the time. In the Christian life, if you're not on a journey to be at peace in your circumstances, finding joy in all circumstances, to be content in all circumstances, if you're not on that journey, you're not on that journey. And you want to be on that journey. Matthew 22, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they had gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. What teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, love is both a base affection and a base mindset. See, love is an emotion. It is. It has feelings. And it has action. See, love is a way of life. It is a mindset. See, when you don't have that mindset and it's still about you, what's comfortable to you, and you don't have that mindset, is there a war there? If there's a war, God will help you to find victory. If there's no war and you're not leaning forward into people's lives, there's a great chance you might not be a Christian. All Christians lean forward in these laws. Paul agreed. Galatians 5:13 says, for you are called to freedom, brothers. That's emotion talk. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. One another, brothers and sisters. For the four, you know that love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is now bringing that around and saying, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Obedience. Loving one another, right? Loving one another is the recipe for good emotion. Because in order to love, you have to forgive. In order to love, you have to turn the other cheek. In order to love, you have to apologize. In order to love, you have to serve one another. And you have to lean forward. When you lean forward and continue to lean forward, you have to talk about things. You have to get it out in the open. You know? And then God is going to just bring his blessing. But you step back, right? People don't know you that well. You're not leaning forward into people's lives. Everybody here knows if somebody's leaning forward or leaning back. Everybody knows that. 1 John 3:19. By this we know that we are of the truth and will convince our heart before him that if our heart condemns us, that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Dear friends, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. The confidence that we have in being a believer is that we lean forward to do what God wants us to do. That is the assurance of salvation. You can say, well, those thieves on the cross, yeah, I am 100% confident that they're with Christ. But I'm also 100% confident in what God says is what God says. And the Word of God, if it can go travel untainted from one end of the city to the other end of the city without being corrupt, I believe it is worth staking our lives. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we would all agree with that. So, yeah, you know, if you go to any church, they're going to preach that. Well, what must I do to get saved? Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. What does John says? And love one another, just as he has commanded us. Wow. Lean forward. Lean forward. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Why is this so important? I want to distill, okay? Distill. See, a lot of our emotions are relational. A lot of our emotions are relational. We have wrong emotions. They creep up. We harbor bitterness, despair, you know, maybe even depression, anger, grudge. We harbor these things. Disappointment we harbor. And we're an architect of those emotions. And here's the thing. The freedom from that. That God, it is the birthright of every Christian. The freedom from that is to lean forward to the obedience of God's word. To trust and do what the word of God says. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is the, what does the Spirit do? It leads us, help us to awaken to our own mindsets. That's what Scripture said, didn't it? The fruit of the Spirit, if you do that, is love, joy, peace. These are emotions. The fruit of the Spirit are emotions. It is telling you that you have the right mindset. That you're guessing correctly for your circumstance. If you got hurt, don't guess hatred. Don't guess counterattacking. Guess forgiveness. In conflict, guess apologizing. When you experience envy, guess rehearsing that you have everything in Christ and you have the capability and the ability to actually be happy for other people. Guess that. Because there's no law against it. I love it. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Little Hank, Little Hank is not who I am. I'm Big Henry. And you know what? Every morning, I need to go before God and to be reminded of that. Because I lose my way. I lose my way. This is how the fight is. Amnesia. I love the fact that God has given us the gift of emotion. I love the fact that we need to talk about it. Because guess what? It's the only way you unearth what mindset that you have. Your emotions unearth the mindset that you carry. Your emotions unearth the mindset that you carry. Which mindset rules? A mindset is called sin. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is a lawless mindset. Sin is a mindset that leans back on people, not leans forward. When you lean forward, then you have to forgive, you have to apologize, all those things. Sin says, hey, take a step back, assess, don't engage. You're not going to have the fruits of the Spirit. You won't have love, joy, and peace. If you want good emotions, lean forward. Okay, let's summarize. The old mindset is opposed to God and His ways. The new mindset of the new self rejects the old mindset, identifies with the new mind and the new self. Just got to, every day, this is who I am. Anytime you experience envy or anything like that, covetousness, this is not who I am. This is not who I am. I'm about people. I prioritize people. Obedience is the pathway, number two, to a life of good emotions. When God says turn the other cheek, you better turn the other cheek. When He says forgive 70 times 7, you better give Him. But sometimes it's like, oh, you know what? I think I'm enabling Him by forgiving Him too much. Really? You're going to go with that? You're going to go with that. After all that Christ has done for you, you're going to go with that. Don't go with it. That's my point. Obedience. Okay? Serve one another. Obedience. It will produce for you a good life full of good emotions. You will learn that in every circumstance that you can be content. To be obedient is to produce the fruit of the Spirit and live a joyful, peaceful, and a meaningful life. God wants us to do good in this life, not be swayed by the circumstances of this life. I know you came in one way. God wants you to leave another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You give us hope. God, You give us hope. You give us, God, we're so often like we're in despair of our wrecked emotions. So dry, so cold, so much in pain. God, we don't deserve it, but Lord, You give it. We don't deserve Your love, but You do pour it out. And so I pray right now for all of us, God, that we would reject the old mindset. God, for those who are leaning back, I pray that they would lean forward now, that they may prove that they belong to You. I pray that every one of us in this room, God, by Your Spirit, I pray, Lord, that we would be now truthful to the leaning of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, in exposing the mindsets that we have that are not faithful to Your commandments. So now I pray, God, even as we praise and sing, God, just praise. And God, calls us to repent and turn around and lead forward into Your word. In Jesus' name.